Psalm 100.
Be praying. I think the Lord has given direction for our Sunday school hour. We're going to be looking at the book of Daniel. We finished a while ago a study in the book of Revelation, and Daniel goes right along with that. So we're gonna make our way with the help of the Lord through the book of Daniel in our Sunday school hour. And I think, unless the Lord changes things, I think on Wednesdays we're going to do a study of cults, false religions, and how can we deal with those that we encounter that are into false religions. Amen. Today, if you enter the military or you enter the hospital for any kind of stay, extended or outpatient, oftentimes you are asked about your faith. And the reason they do that is, should the need arise where a pastor or a chaplain needs to be contacted, they would like to know who to contact that can best minister to you. And there is a plethora of choices. The Church of Satan is a recognized religion. Mm-hmm. And of course, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and some other obscure faiths and some obscure religions. And probably in your lifetime, you'll encounter folks that practice one of these false religions. So how can we deal with them? How can we deal with them? What can we do? What can we say to them? And I don't want to get into that too much now because I'm still working on it, but let me just say here that there's an old saying that says you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Amen. And I'll just say this right here. We're not going to reach them by offending them. No. We're not going to reach them by saying, "Bless God, you're wrong. You're going to split hell wide open if you keep believing that." No. That's not how. So how do we deal with them? Amen. Well, we'll look at that, Lord willing, on Wednesday nights. But tonight in Psalm 100. This is, I think, to many of us, if not most of us, a familiar psalm. And it says this: "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Amen. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations." I want to just focus on this thought. And as I said in my prayer, I don't know if I've shared this or not. If I have, Someone needs to hear it again tonight, because the Lord laid it on my heart. And if I haven't, I hope it'll be a help to you, an encouragement to you. I don't know who needs this. I don't know who needs it, but the Lord's led me to share this thought. Praise the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord anyway. Praise Him when the sun is shining. When the winds of trouble blow, when you see no silver lining on the clouds that hang so low. Praise illumines clouds of sorrow, turns the gray skies into gold, giving promise of tomorrow, bright with blessings manifold. Praise Him when the load is heavy and the day no comfort brings. Then your burden God will carry, bear you as on eagle's wings. God delights to have us praise Him and believe His holy word, and He knoweth them that love Him. For they always praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. In your Bible, 17 books in the Old Testament talk about praising the Lord. 11 New Testament books talk about praising the Lord. So nearly half of your Bible has a reference to praising the Lord. 300 verses. 300 verses in the Bible command us to praise the Lord. 300. If God says something one time, we should pay attention to it. But if God says something 300 times, we ought to take heed to it.
Amen.
300 verses.
Praise you.
So let me admonish you tonight, we must praise the Lord. We must. We must praise the Lord. You say, why? Why do we need to praise? Why do I need to praise the Lord? What has God done for me? And I trust nobody here tonight would say that. I don't think you would, but you may be here tonight, or you may be watching or listening, and you may be saying, I don't have anything to praise the Lord for. I've got more month at the end of the money. My family is sick. My job makes me miserable. My wife hates me. My kids don't like me. Don't have any friends. My neighbors are out to get me. Nobody loves me. Why should I praise the Lord? Well, there are a number of reasons to do that, but let me just give you two. And I just broke a cardinal rule of homiletics. My homiletics instructor would eat my lunch tonight. Because I told you how many points I had. They said you should never do that, because if you tell folks how many points you have, once you get to that last point, they start, you know, closing their Bible and getting ready to eat. So I may or may not have 2 points tonight. I may or may not. Let me give them to you. The first one is in verse 3. Look what it says. Know ye that the Lord, He is God.
Amen.
The first reason why we ought to praise the Lord is because He's God. He's God. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 39 says, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. You remember that story? How that Elijah did battle against the prophets of Baal. They were trying to prove who the true God was. So Elijah said, here's what we'll do. We'll build two altars. One to Baal and one to Jehovah God. He said, let's get the rocks. Let's get the wood. We'll get the sacrifice. We'll put it on. We'll do everything. But bring the fire. And we'll call out to our God. And ask Him to send fire down. He said, and just to make things interesting, we're going to do something a little bit extra special. So they built the altars and they put the wood on there. They put the sacrifice on there. He said, okay, you go first. And so the prophets of Baal began to cry out and call out to Baal. And they started dancing and jumping around and they began to cut themselves to try to get Baal's attention. And Elijah said, maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he doesn't have his hearing aids in. Or maybe he's gone on a trip. Or he said, you know, maybe he's using the bathroom right now. Try again. So the Bible says they called out from morning to evening. And nothing happened. He said, okay, fellas, that's enough. He said, go sit down over there. He said, I'm going to pray to Jehovah God. But before I do, go get some buckets of water. And pour it on my sacrifice.
Amen.
So they did. He said, do it again. They did it again. He said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. Until the water was all over the sacrifice. The wood was wet. The rocks were wet. The trench around it was wet. He said, okay, that's enough. Now go sit down. And then Elijah prayed, what's recorded in your King James Bible, a 56-word prayer. And basically he said, Lord, Jehovah, you know that you're God. You know that you're the one true God. I know that you're the one true God. But they need to know that you're the one true God. So I pray in order to show them that you're the one true God that you would send down fire and consume the sacrifice. The Bible says as soon as he finished speaking, that fire came down. It consumed the sacrifice. It lapped up all the water that was on and around the altar and in the trench. And the Bible says it even jumped over and consumed the sacrifice that was offered to Baal.
Amen.
And it was that act that caused the people to say, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, He is the God.
Amen.
They didn't say, He is a God. They said, the Lord, He is the God.
Yes.
The one true God. That ought to motivate us to praise Him. Because He's God. Look what He says here, verse 3. It is He that hath made us.
Yes.
Psalm 119, verse 73 says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments.
Amen.
It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. We're His people. We're His people twice. Because He made us, but also because He bought us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's like the little boy who made the boat and took it down to the creek, or the creek, however y'all say it, and it got away from him. The wind took it away. He lost it. Later on, he was walking through town, went past a little shop, and saw his boat in the window. He said, "Hey, mister, that's my boat. That's my boat. See, it has my name on it." He said, "I'm sorry, son, I bought that boat." He said, "Well, let me buy it back from you." So he bought it. He bought it back. He held that little boat up and he said, "You're my boat twice. You're my boat because I made you, and you're my boat because I bought you." We're his. We are his people because he made us. We're his people because he bought us with his blood. He's our king. He's our king. Psalm 44 verse 4 says, "Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob." He goes on, verse 3. "We are his people and the sheep of our pasture, of your pasture, of his pasture." Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He's our shepherd. He provides for us in Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. He protects us, Psalm 23, verses 3 and 4. He provides rest. He provides refreshment. He protects us as our guide. He protects us as our guard. We ought to praise him tonight because he's God. Because he's God. But there's a second reason here why we ought to praise him. Number one, because he's God. Number two, we ought to praise him. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good." We ought to praise him because he's God, but we ought to praise him because he's good. He's good. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him." The Lord is good. Like the old hymn that says, "The Lord is good, tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good, tell it that others may know." I don't remember the rest of the words, but I just know that the Lord is good. The Lord is good, tell it wherever you go. He's good.
Thank you, Lord.
Look what he says here, verse 5. "The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting." Psalm 136, there are 26, I believe 26 verses in that psalm. Psalm 136, every one of them ends this way, "For his mercy endureth forever." Every single verse tells us we ought to praise the Lord. This is his attribute, and his mercy endureth forever. Everything that we have is from God. James put it this way, "Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good gift we have, every breath we take, is a gift from God. His mercy is everlasting. Look what he says here. Verse 5, "His truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 119, verse 90, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to save those that come to him. He's faithful to forgive our sins. He's faithful to do what he says he'll do. And listen, he's faithful to help us. He's faithful to help us obey him. God's not going to command us to do anything that he hasn't equipped us to do. He's not going to tell us to do anything that's too hard for us, that we can't do. I don't do it when they're watching. But sometimes, my son and daughter-in-law will tell my granddaughter to do something, and she'll say, "I can't because I'm so hungry. I can't do that because I'm so tired." And inside, I'm chuckling. Outside, I say, "Now, you know, you need to obey mom and daddy. You need to do that. You're not too tired. You're not too hungry. You can do it." But God, if God commands us to do something, he's going to tell us to do it. He's going to give us the ability to do it. Did you hear about Aunt Sadie? Aunt Sadie was the church matriarch. She was given to fits of excitement from time to time. Occasionally, when she'd hear something that blessed her soul, she would say, "Well, praise the Lord!" She'd hear a song that she loved. She'd stand up and say, "Well, praise the Lord!" The preacher would say something that she liked, and she would stand up and she would say, "Well, praise the Lord, preacher! Preach it! Praise the Lord!" When she'd get happy, she'd stand up and say, "Praise the Lord!" And let me say, that's not the worst idea that I've ever heard. Amen? You ought to know by now that that doesn't bother me. In fact, that's like saying sic'em to a dog when you say amen and praise the Lord while I'm preaching. Amen. She would do that.
Thank you, Jesus.
And some of the demons, I mean the deacons, went to her one day and they said, "Aunt Sadie," everybody called her Aunt Sadie, they'd say, "Aunt Sadie, we appreciate your enthusiasm, but, and whenever somebody says the word but, what they're saying is, "Forget what I just said because I'm fixing to contradict myself." They'd say, "We appreciate your enthusiasm, but it's causing some commotion." Causing some commotion. It's a distraction to some people. So they said, if you can keep from doing that for 1 month, 4 weeks, you can keep from doing that for 4 weeks, we'll give you a brand new electric blanket. Well, she said, "Ooh, boy, howdy. I need an electric blanket, so I'll do my best." She did well for 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, she'd hear a song that blessed her soul. She'd just kind of nod her head. And the preacher would say something that she agreed with. She'd just quietly in her spirit, she'd say, "Amen, that's good, that's good." Did great for 3 weeks. Well, that fourth week, that last week came when she was going to get her electric blanket. She heard a song. She heard a song that talked about the forgiveness of sins. Talked about how my sins are buried in the deepest sea. And the preacher said something about the blood of Jesus washing away all our sins. And she couldn't take it anymore. She stood up and she said, "Well, blanket or no blanket, praise the Lord!" You know, that ought to be us.
Amen.
That ought to be us. Blanket or no blanket, praise the Lord. You know, we'll yell. We'll yell about the Chiefs playing. We'll scream and holler about the Royals winning. Or my Detroit Tigers. You know, we'll throw a fit over K-State or KU or OSU or whatever it is. We'll even go out to a ball game in the middle of winter with no shirt on. I used to think those guys that did that were drunk. Then I got married. And I realized those guys are probably there with their wives and she's taking all their clothes because she was so cold. But we'll do that. Yeah, we'll watch double overtime, triple overtime. Neck and neck, sudden death. And we'll scream and shout and holler. And we'll come to church. I dare you to bless me, preacher. What time is it getting to be? You know, I was sharing at the men's breakfast yesterday. I don't care if y'all look at your watch while I'm preaching. Just don't start waving a calendar at me.
Amen, brother.
Y'all have never told me I preached too long. You may have said it. You never said it to me. You've told me I quit too early from time to time. So you should have kept going. Anyway. But we ought to praise the Lord. And I've said this before, if you don't have anything to praise the Lord for, then just praise Him on credit. Praise Him because you will have something to praise Him for.
Amen.
Coming up. I had a fellow come to me one time and say, Pastor, I I've searched. I've thought about it. I really don't have anything to praise the Lord for. And I said, Brother, would you do something for me just one more time? Take this legal pad, take this pen, and just go get alone somewhere and just sit quietly. And try to think of one thing that you can write. Just one thing and bring it back to me and we'll talk about it. Just one thing that you can thank God for. And he came back to me a little bit in a little while. And he said, hey, Pastor, you got any more paper? I started writing things down and I couldn't stop. And I used this whole pad. And that's how it ought to be. I know several people are doing this. They're trying to think of one thing every day that they can be thankful for. And we're thankful for things like our salvation, our family, but you know, they're trying to think of one thing, something different every day. 366 days this year. Something that they're thankful for every day. And we ought to do that. Not just at November, not just a week or a couple days before Thanksgiving, but every day we ought to think of something that we're thankful for.
Thank you, Lord.
If we search, we can find something. If we pray about it, God will give us something. We ought to praise the Lord because He's good, because He's God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
May God help us. How do we do it? How do we do it? Verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Verse 2. Come before His presence with singing. We praise the Lord by singing. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. We praise the Lord by serving. Verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. Be thankful in Him. Bless His name. By saluting the Lord. Thanksgiving. And praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we are mindful of Your grace to us and Your mercy.